Appreciate the message that's gone before us. I feel like that we've had a good spiritual meal already. It's been my burden for a long time, and I appreciate Brother Kenneth the practical things that we need to know about in the Word of God. You know, the doctrine of justification and glorification and all the finished work of Christ. Nothing's ever going to change about that, whether anybody ever hears it or responds to it or not. Nothing will change about that. But if we're not taught in the Word of God on how we should live our lives, we would lose drastically. And I think we've seen that in the church. I think we've seen, and I think we're seeing in our day, a great falling away, don't you? A great falling away. Not great in the sense that it's good, but and it's just not Primitive Baptist. I speak with ministers of other faiths, and everyone sees a great falling away. Well, the Lord said that because iniquity doth abound, Matthew 24, because iniquity doth abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's the world crowding in to our heart and pushing out the things of God. So we need practical godliness to be taught to us. We need to be reading this, but history shows us, it's been my experience anyway, that there's a lot of folks that's not reading this word on a regular basis. And as much as we can encourage and as much as we can exhort folks to read the Bible, at least they need to hear it on Sunday morning. If they'll make the effort to come to church, they ought to hear it when they come to church. Amen. So I appreciate the message. Now, Brother Kenneth, I'm not going to try to improve on anything you said. But my mind was stirred on that very first word that you mentioned this morning. And my outline for something else, I wasn't real settled when I came, and now the Lord stirred my mind in another direction. So I want to deal with something in addition to. Not trying to improve anything that you've heard, because we've already had a full meal. It was a good lesson. I appreciate that. But that word watch. Yeah. Watch. One of the things that Brother Kenneth mentioned was to fight the good fight of faith. All right? That was written to a preacher, yes. But it was written to a preacher to teach that preacher what to preach to others. Okay? Paul said, "The things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou also to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." All right? So what the preacher preaches should be good for all of us. Okay, especially for the ministry, but for good for all of us. Because we all have the opportunity and we all have the responsibility to fight this good fight of faith. Amen. I would that everyone here this morning, when you're out in public next week, I hope that everyone can see your life and see Christ being manifested before their eyes. Whether they appreciate it or not, I want them to see it. I hope they can see it. By the decisions that you make and the choices that you make and whatever you're doing and your words and demeanor and all of those things, let the light shine. It's our privilege and our responsibility to show Christ to the world. Jesus even made a point of it when he's talking about you're the light of the world, and he talks about no man lighteth a candle and put it under a bushel. We're kind of losing sight of what that bushel was. You know, a lot of folks here, some of you at least, grew up in a time when you made good use of a bushel basket. Regular use, I should say, of a bushel basket, you know, with gardening and with feeding livestock and all those kinds of things. We understood what that was. Some of our young folks coming along nowadays may not have ever seen one. But regardless, you know what happens if I take something and put it over a candle. a bucket over a candle, you can't see the candle. Okay? And when you hide, even though there's a good way to hide the Word of God in our heart, when we hide all that we know about the Word of God and how we should live, if we don't apply it, and if folks don't see it, it's like putting your light under a bushel. That doesn't even make good nonsense, does it? Right? God has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. So let our lives show our thanksgiving. All right? So my question is, when he mentions fight the good fight of faith, who should fight the good fight of faith? Who? All of us? Are you sure? Are you gonna? When we leave this place, are we going to fight the good fight of faith? Or are we just going to be a spectator on Sunday morning and hide it under a bushel till next time we come to the house of God? We can't fight the good fight of faith in here. We can teach it, but we don't fight it in here. And like Brother Kenneth said, we don't, you know, fight fleshly battles. It's a spiritual thing, and it has to happen with self. We have to have self under control, and we have to feed our mind and feed our heart so that we've got something to show to the world. Right. That's how we fight. And a lot of what you heard this morning was a good explanation of fighting the good fight of faith. But let's back up a little bit to where he started. Watch ye. Watch. I used to give Elder Sonny Pyle credit for this every time I thought about it, but then I do reading too, and I found that it was around before Brother Sonny. He's probably one of the most famous who quoted it a lot. But there's an acronym that you can find in many places with regard to the word watch. So my thought that stirred within me as Brother Kenneth was preaching about his text out of Corinthians was that do we really... You know, are we latching on to what it is that we're to watch for? How do we go about watching? You know, did that just kind of go over our head and we listened to the rest of it? But how do we apply? How do I obey that scripture? That's the best way to put it. That's a good way when you're doing Bible study, when you're reading, you should ask yourself, how can I obey this scripture? If it's telling us to remember something, then make it a point to remember. If it's telling us how to walk in a certain way, then make it a point to remember that when I walk, this is the way I need to walk. Okay? So, when we think about then, I want to go deal with a little bit this word watch. Just give you some thoughts here about what it is that we need to watch. Okay? Well, first of all, our words. A W for words. Word. Does it matter what kind of words we use? Words can hurt sometimes. You might be having a bad day and you may throw out some hard, harsh words, and somebody in your path wasn't guilty of anything, and boy, could your words hurt them. What kind of a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ would do that? So we need to watch our words. Go read the book of James if you want a college degree on the use of words and the use of this tongue. The book of James is full of instruction about this tongue, and a good bit of it is warning us. It could be a fire. It can, you know, it can be unruly. Anybody ever, you know, I had a good sister one time in the church I pastored. She said, we don't gossip. We just give informed opinions. Well, that could be a matter of opinion, can't it? All right. We need to watch our words. Be careful what you say. Not only that, but... and I'll probably get back to this one again, but over in Matthew 20, what is it, 2143, something like, somebody, I can look it up, but Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So whatever is in abundance in the heart is going to come out of the mouth. You don't have to visit with somebody very long to find out what's really dear to their heart. Okay? And it can be a lot of things. But I'm just saying, that's a principle that's undeniable. We need to watch, okay, our words. And a good way to examine words is when you're around somebody, you'll find out pretty quickly just what they love to talk about. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Okay, words. Paul also would tell Timothy that to Titus would speak about God's words being wholesome words. Wholesome means that they're healthful. They'll build you up. That's what the word edify means, to build up spiritually. We want to build one another up. We don't want to tear anybody down. But words can certainly do that, can't they?
Sure can.
And so we need to be careful with our words. If we're watching and if we're mindful of how the life that we want to live, that it would be glorifying to God, that one of the things we need to watch is our words. Let's see, what could we find for A? How about actions? Actions. And if you'll pay attention, a lot of these are connected to the heart. You know, what's in the heart also controls actions. Do your actions show forth to the world that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ? And I'm talking about one that lines up with this word. There's a lot of versions of Christ being presented in the world today. I'm talking about one that lines up with, this is the only thing that matters. This truth that God gave us to follow, to remember, to read, to understand, to teach, to adhere to observe, to do all that he commands, this word is what matters. And so, actions. What are our actions telling someone that's seeing us in the world? What is this? What is our actions telling someone else who is a brother or sister in the faith? Actions are so important. You know, sometimes people can observe your actions before they hear what your words are. Maybe you see a stranger on the street and they can observe some actions, and they may never hear any words out of your mouth. That's why, you know, it's said that we preach there's a couple of sayings. One of them is, I'd rather see a sermon any day than to hear it. I want to see a life that's being lived and walked according to truth. I want to see it come forth, that love being genuine and manifested to others. I want to see that. Another expression is that, you know, we preach our funeral now. Whatever the preacher says later will be based on how we live our life now. Actions. What are from our actions? Think about your last week. What have your actions been? How much of it has given glory to God? It's important, I think. Words and actions. Then a T could represent thoughts. Watch. Watch your thoughts. Oh, okay. Have you ever thought, well, there was no harm in doing this? Then a little later, you move over a little bit and you're doing a little bit more in that direction. And like Brother Ken said about the devil can get in. All he needs is just a little crack to kind of start sliding in there and then widening the gap, taking up more residence. And I tell you, he's crafty. He's always been crafty. The Word of God has always shown him to be crafty, and he's still diligent to do that job. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful and watch our thoughts. And the best way to train our thoughts is to be in this Word, reading it every day. If I sound like a broken record, so be it. There's nothing better for the child of God to know than a good regular dose of reading the Word of God every day will do you good. They are wholesome words. They will build you up. They will strengthen you in this fight of fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. It's what we need. Thank you for the amens, because I know that's the fact. All right? Let's see. Running out of time here. C. What can we find? C that we could use to represent something we need to watch in living this life in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord. How about companions? Are companions important? Are they? I want to hear it. Are they? Paul says, let's see, 1 Corinthians 15. You see, this is off the cuff because I don't have those texts written down. 1 Corinthians 15, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Well, preacher, I thought you were talking about companions. And you said communications. Well, if you'll dig into that a little bit, you'll find that those kind of communications are relating to the kind of company we keep. You know, if you hang around with the wrong crowd, they're going to expect you to go with them and do what they do. And they're going to shame you if you try not to. You just got to be strong. Who loves you the most? Do they love you more than God does? Did they go to the cross and shed their precious blood to redeem you from your sins, to save you from hell? Do they love you more than that? Bless your hearts. God loves us more than we'll ever know. I don't know that we'll ever, ever discern just how much God loves us. But he's chosen to show it to us in all eternity. That ought to tell you something right there. It'll never end. The love that he has for us. And he doesn't tell us to go slay an animal and burn it and all of those kinds of things. And we don't have the old law service like they had in the Old Testament. But you know what he said? If you love me, keep my commandments. And John would tell us later in 1 John that his commandments are not grievous. He simply calls upon us to follow him. Because he knows, and we should also know, that his way is the best. Amen. Have you found that to be true in life? His way really is the best. The best in sense of joy and peace. The best in sense of a way to find happiness here in this life. There's so many people that are looking for happiness in the wrong places. You know I'm talking about. You know I'm saying what's right. And bless your hearts. The Lord says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest to your soul. And I'm going to tell you something. If your soul is finding rest, then your body is doing better. If your soul's not at rest, your body's not going to rest. It's just not going to happen. So getting in the wrong crowd, having the wrong kind of companions, it's just so far away from where we need to be as far as following the Lord. Where are we? H. H. Watch. Watch your words, watch your actions, watch your thoughts, watch your heart. Heart. Did I leave something out? C, companions, and H for heart. Your heart. Is that important? Whew. Because, as I already said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So whatever we've set our heart's affection upon, whatever we do in the sense of giving our mental and emotional energy most, It's going to have an effect upon our words, our actions, our thoughts, our heart. That's why Proverbs says, guard your heart. Guard it. Protect it. Why? Because when Jesus came along and when he was preaching the parables over in Matthew 13, and he talked about that parable of the sower, that parable of the, it's commonly called the parable of the sower. But the real important thing is the soil. Because that soil represented the condition of the heart where the seed was being sown. And when that heart, when that soil was hard and stony, the seed didn't get in there. And there wasn't any fruit born. But when it was an area that was prepared, like a garden, when you're getting ready to plant and you're going to prepare the ground, there's not too many things that you could practice no-till gardening. Farmers do some no-till farming. I don't see a lot of that because I don't think it turned out to be all that great. Maybe Brother Luke back there can tell me more about that. But there's just a lot of things that people try to do no-till, and it just doesn't work. Over in Jeremiah, I think it's Jeremiah chapter 4. He talks about break up the fallow ground of your heart. Oh, break up the fallow ground of your heart. That we need the teaching of God's word in telling us what to do and what not to do. We need our toes stepped on sometimes. We need our hearts pricked with the things that the word of God tells us to keep us in the right way. And so there's times when we neglect something. There's times we neglect certain areas of our life and all of a sudden we realize, wait a minute, I'm not attending to that like I should in my life. And it's because that part of your heart has gotten fallow and, it hasn't been worked in a while and it's getting hard and the word hasn't been getting in there. All right, I'm trying to use what the Bible uses as illustrations. So we need to read this word of God. We need to remind ourselves, this is what I need to be doing in that area of my life. And that's another blessing of reading through the word of God. You're not picking and choosing. You're not being a buffet Christian on the things that you read. The word of God is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. So when you just read through what it says, the Lord's going to give you what you need in all areas of your life, and it's going to help you to break up the fallow ground of your heart. And when that has happened, and when that part of your heart has been worked, it's ready to receive the word. And in that parable in Matthew 13, that seed that fell on the good ground, what made it good? Because it was worked, it was prepared, it was ready to receive the word. That heart brought forth fruit in abundance. Is your heart bringing forth fruit to the glory of God in abundance? Is Piney Grove Church bringing forth fruit in abundance to the glory of God? I think there could be some improvement. I appreciate every one of you. I love every one of you. I pray for every one of you every day and your families. All right? But I still think there could be some improvement. How about you?
Yes.
All right. All right. We at least need to acknowledge something before we act on it. All right. So, I've just given you a small sketch. That's just a little convenient way. That acronym is just a little convenient way of remembering some of the things that we need to watch in our life as we fight the good fight of faith. Words are important. Words can build you up or they can tear you down. What's pleasing to God? Actions, thoughts, companions, your heart. You might have a better word that goes with one of those letters. If you got a better one, use it. It won't bother me. If you got something that's better, use it. The point is, let's fight the good fight of faith. And I never did read the verse that I had turned to over in Mark chapter 13, but he also talks about watching over there. Maybe that'd be a good place to close. In Jesus going about doing his teaching, part of what he says in Mark 13, I'll begin in verse 35, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, even at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping." In other words, we're to be watchful, right? We're to be vigilant. We're to take care of business. Quit ye like men. Okay? That's what we heard earlier. And then he says in verse 37, "And what I say unto you, I say unto all." Watch. He was talking to his disciples, but he says, "What I say unto you, I say unto all." This is good for all of us. And what did he say? Watch. May the Lord bless you, is our prayer.